From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Welcome to our program. Thank you for joining with me around God's precious Word. In our program tonight, as part of our ongoing study of why I believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and giving you a further reason why it is so. That reason is the adaptability of the Bible. This study is the concluding part of our series entitled The Central Doctrines of the Christian Faith. In a moment, I will play the third extract from Jim Palmer's testimony, but before that, may I invite you to the Gospel Mission in Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church. The preacher is the Reverend Kyle Paisley, and the meetings are at 7 o'clock on the Lord's Day and 8 p.m. Monday through to Friday. Everyone will be made very welcome. Last week, we left off playing Jim Palmer's testimony just where he had got married. He takes up his story from there. Please remember, we are giving away a free copy of the testimony on tape to anyone who contacts us. Many have, and we're thankful for that. If you haven't yet done that, please take note of the details of how to contact us at the end of the program. After we listen to Jim, I'm going to turn then to the subject for this evening, the adaptability of the Bible. Here's Jim Palmer.
But a short time after we were married, there was a mission in Portavogie, and I went to that mission, and I made a profession of faith at that mission. And you know, in no time at all, I'd forgotten about the profession of faith and all the cravings that were there, and in no time was away back with my friends, away back into the world again. And for the next 12 years, I never had an anxious thought, not one anxious thought. I can only describe that time of my life as if I was adrift on the sea of life. Went through many a storm and dashed upon many a rock. I can tell you it wasn't a very glamorous life. No purpose. It wasn't a life at all. It was only an existence. Living from one week to the next week for wages, to drink. But I was content. Then it happened. Completely out of the blue. 10 years ago, one Sunday afternoon, I was sitting watching a football match on the television, and my wife went away to a mission in the Free Presbyterian Church. The moderator was preaching. Of course, I had no time for anything like that. No way would I go and hear Paisley preaching. When she went, I was watching the match. I was sitting with a cigarette in my hand, and she came home, and I heard her coming in the back door. She walked in the back door, and her eyes were puffed, and she sat down in the seat, and I looked at her, and she says, "I've got something to tell you, Jim." And I says, "What is it?" She says, "I got saved today." "Well, you could have knocked me down with a feller, I can tell you." I looked at her in disbelief. And I says, "What?" And she says, "I got saved today." And I composed myself and I says, "Well, that's okay. I'm happy enough for you. I hope you can keep it and all that sort of thing. But don't expect me to go to the church. No way. You can go ahead there. But I am not going to the church. You carry on with that, and I'll go my own way." And she said, "That's all right. If that's what you want, that's okay. But you know, when I look back, I thank God for saving Mildred. I praise His name that He didn't pass us by, that He didn't give us up. I thank God for that day that she went to that mission and she got saved. Because you see, from that day, our house changed."
Please remember to send for your free copy of Jim Palmer's testimony on tape. Now we're turning to our ongoing Bible study, in which we're setting before you reasons why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. The inspiration of the Bible is a central doctrine of the Christian faith. The fifth reason I want to present to you is this: the adaptability of the teaching of the Bible demonstrates that it is indeed the Word of God. It is surely a striking fact that although the Jews were the privileged depositaries of the Bible revelation, and the greater part of the Bible was therefore primarily national in character, yet the Bible is an international book. This fact is even more remarkable when we consider that the Hebrew was the most exclusive and continues to be the most exclusive race on the face of the earth, and that the Bible writers were characteristically dominated with this Jewish exclusivism. By divine choice, the Jewish people were severed in feeling, religion, policy, and destiny from the rest of the human race in such a manner that even adversity and dispersion could not destroy their peculiar isolation. How strange that such an exclusive race could produce such an inclusive book. Only the high-born origin of the Bible can explain this mystery. It is plainly manifested that the Jewish race became not merely the recipients of the divine message, but also the spokesmen to proclaim that message to the ear and heart of the entire world. The Bible's adaptability is self-evident, being demonstrated in a number of ways. First of all, the Bible is the most translatable of all books. It is a book for all people. There is a universal standing about the Bible which cannot be denied. The Bible is the world's book, and as such, it is national and yet international, local yet worldwide, bounded yet unbounded, limited yet unlimited. There is no speech nor language where its voice is not heard. The Scriptures and the Scriptures alone speak to both north and south, east and west. The fact that the Bible is the most translatable and the most translated of all books indicates its universal character. Translations, at best, are both unappealing and unfamiliar, but the Bible adapts itself to the language in which it is clothed and to the land into which it comes. It is readily admitted that the most English of all books is the authorized version of the Scriptures. Yet, in seeming paradox, there is no book so German as the German Bible. Only the scholarly linguist thinks of the Greek and Hebrew originals when the living word is read. It matters not the language, the mode of life, or the degree of civilization. The Bible adapts itself miraculously to all, to the European and the Eskimo, the African and the American, the Asiatic and the Australian. The Bible becomes singularly their own book. In the lands which have already a vast library of sacred and venerated literature, the Bible enters, and like the sun, outshines all lesser lights. In other lands, the written language has to be created in order that the sacred volume might be translated. And even with the advent to these lands of the best of literature, the Bible easily retains foremost place, for the divine crystal spring will be preferred to the muddy stream of human intellect. In view of this, surely we can but say that the God who made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth hath also made one book for all nations of men who dwell on the face of the earth. Again, the Bible's adaptability is demonstrated in the fact that the Bible is the most seasonable of all books. It's a book for all ages. The Bible is never outdated. It is always in advance of the advancing ages, and yet its unchanging message is equally adaptable to all. Studied by the far-off schools of the prophets in the hoary ages of the past, it still retains its place in the curriculum of the greatest universities of the present. Many other volumes have been perused, patronized, and praised by past generations, but their literary glory died with the generation which gave them birth. They were but productions of time and products of clay, and with the passing of time, in common with their authors, they returned to the dust. Not so with the Bible, for passing time, instead of diminishing its glory, has but added greater lustre to its shining, and in its passing, the grip of this one Bible upon the world has been forged into an indissoluble bond. The fast-flowing currents of passing millenniums, which have erased the imprint of innumerable volumes from the sands of man's knowledge, have no damaging effect on this one volume. Other volumes have been washed out of the consciousness of the race, while this volume has been indelibly washed in. The Bible stands today in solitary grandeur, like a rock of white marble, rearing its head majestically out of a dark, lonely sea, in defiance of the surging billows which hurl themselves unrelentingly against its base. How children delight in the stories of the Bible. All classes and condition of young folk find something fascinating and appealing in the immortal records of Bible history. Adam driven out of the garden, and Abraham brought into Canaan. Noah building the ark, and Nehemiah building the walls. Joseph the slave boy and statesman, and Joshua the servant and soldier. And David the shepherd boy, giant killer, are stories which enshrine themselves in the heart of the young, and which make them wise unto salvation. The sacred poet stated it well, "A glory gilds the sacred page, majestic like the sun. It gives a light to every age. It gives, but borrows none. The hand that gave it still supplies the gracious light and heat. Its truths upon the nations rise. They rise, but never set." In any age, in this age, the Bible still has a fresh message for our tired hearts. "Bring me the book," said Sir Walter Scott on his deathbed. "What book?" his attendant inquiring, not knowing to which volume the dying author referred. "Can you ask?" was the reproving answer. "There is but one." And, dear listeners, there is but one book, containing the only message of salvation, presenting to us the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of men. Oh, hearken to the Bible and its blessed message this evening. God bless you. May you be saved. May you trust Christ for salvation. Please join us again around the Word of God next Monday morning. Good night and God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His Word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.